Good morning, everyone. We are in Acts chapter 26, and Paul is in Caesarea, and he is before Festus, but Festus has King Agrippa in town, and he is going to ask the help of King Agrippa to hear from the Apostle Paul so that he can send an appropriate letter to Caesar in Rome to send Paul to Rome. But before he goes, King Agrippa is going to get to hear from him. So here we are. Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." And, picture him having a whole slew of people around him, essentially on trial, getting the chance to make a defense for what they say he's been doing as far as stirring up a riot, in Jerusalem regarding the Jewish faith. So Paul is now going to make his defense. And he stretched out his hand and he proceeded to make his defense. In regard to all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. And, it's not that King Agrippa is some great dude. Most of these guys were very corrupt, but he at least had an understanding of Judaism. So then, all Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, which from the beginning was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time, if they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee, according to the strictest sect of our religion, and now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to obtain as they earnestly serve God night and day. So Paul he's going to share his testimony here, and it's always a powerful thing to be able to share what God has done through you, especially, Paul having this vision of Jesus. That's what he's going to share, and he's identifying with the fact that he was, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he used to persecute Christians. He was totally against the expansion of Christianity, and now he's proclaiming, the Christ. I think it's also very interesting that he's telling them that the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. I mean, if you'll just but look carefully. The Old Testament Jewish book points to the coming of the Messiah. Now, they missed him because they thought he was going to come as a conquering king, and he ended up coming as a suffering servant, although that's in the scriptures that he would come in that way. But there's also ample scripture about him coming as a conquering king, which he will one day, and that's what we're still waiting on. But the Jews missed this dispensation, this season of history, where Jesus came to die for our sins, to usher in the church age, and they didn't see it, even though it was there. And that's what he's going to kind of explain to them now, and that Jesus revealed this to him in a vision. So, and for this hope, O King, I am being accused of the Jews. I'm being accused of the hope that was promised in their Old Testament. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? And that's one of the most remarkable things about the life of Jesus is that after he died, he rose again from the dead. So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem, because at this time he was opposed to it. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. While so enraged, wow, Paul is really confessing to a rage against the expansion of Christianity. And I guess that's why he was there approving of the martyrdom of Stephen. As I was journeying to Damascus, this would have been right after the martyrdom of Stephen, with the authority of the commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those while journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." What a remarkable scene. Jesus speaking to him in Hebrew and asking, "Paul, what are you doing? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, a goad was a sharp pointed instrument, stick, bar that was used to keep cattle in line. And if they kicked, and if they were disobedient, then they would get pricked and they would learn not to do that. And it's a lot harder for a cattle if he wants to be difficult. He's going to get a lot of severe punishment. And that's what Jesus is saying to the Apostle Paul, is that, you know what, when you're resisting God, when you're fighting against God, when you're going against the way of Christianity, you're kicking against the goads. It's not going to work. It's just, life's going to be harder. It's going to be more difficult. And, you know, it kind of makes me, I don't know what's the right word, a little bit sad, a little bit frustrated for, you know, all the people that we try to witness to that just don't want to hear and don't want to change and don't want to repent and don't want to seek the Bible and seek to know Jesus. And they're going through life resisting him, and it's not going to turn out well. And they're just kicking against the goads. Life's going to be more difficult, and eternity is going to be horrific. And it would just, if they would just stop resisting, but yet just open their mind and seek the Lord, their life could be so much better now and forever. It's so much harder to kick against the goads. Why would you want to kick against the Lord Jesus, who came to die for you and forgive you, hey? And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" Isn't that interesting? Who are you, Lord? You know, I think he said, "Who are you, Lord?" I think he was like, "Oh my goodness, this is Jesus talking to me." And that's what Jesus is going to tell him. "I am Jesus." And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." You know, it's interesting. Who are you? Do you remember that song by The Who? "Who are you? Who, 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 who?" You know, in fact, in that song a little bit, he is referring to God in a way, but he doesn't know who God is. And he's kind of like, he's kind of questioning himself, like, "Who am I?" And he's also kind of questioning, like, God's reality. Who are you? And isn't it interesting that Paul's life completely changed once he knew who Jesus was? And the reality is this: we don't really know who we are until we know who Jesus is. Because when we come to know Jesus, who we are changes. And we now are his family. We have Father God on our side, and we begin to discover who he is making us to be. And that's a great question, you know, who are you, Lord? Because once you seek to find out, you'll find out who you really are. Hallelujah. What a glorious thing that is, to now be living for an eternal purpose and to know who you really are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me and for so many. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." Think of that. Think of the glory. This is what we get. Listen to what, this is what we get. We get our eyes opened so that we can turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that we may receive the forgiveness of our sins and an inheritance, a promise of heaven because of those who have been sanctified or cleansed or made right by faith in me. And we're made right because Jesus died for our sin, but when we need to place our faith in him, and that's what places, in a sense, our sin upon Jesus. He died to take it from us, but it doesn't become true of us that our sin is placed upon him until we accept him by faith, and then we are forgiven, and we are transferred from darkness to light in the dominion of Satan to God. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Oh, that the world would know, that people would know. It's good news. Hallelujah. Jesus is good news. So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know, and Paul's saying the vision was that he was supposed to go to the Gentiles. So I kept on declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. And, you know, we're not saved by our works, but we are supposed to repent, turn to God, and then perform deeds appropriate to that repentance, meaning we got to change the way we live. We should change the way we live. If you put God inside of someone through the power of his Holy Spirit, they should change and live a different life. And we should be transformed and be living new lives for him. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. They're basically putting me to death because I'm telling them about Jesus and what he's done. So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, because they prophesied about the coming of the Christ, that the Christ, the anointed one, is what that means in the Greek. The Hebrew translation of Christ is Messiah, which also means anointed one. He was promised to come in the Old Testament, that the Christ was to suffer. We can read about that in Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And, you know, the Jews really lost sight of that, but they were always to be a light to the Gentiles. And sure enough, that's what Paul's doing. When Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind." No, he's not. "Your great learning is driving you mad," Festus said. But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth." I love that. I love the fact that Paul was confident that what he was saying was true, and he had a peace about himself because he was speaking the truth. And you know what? People aren't going to always like what you say, but when you are preaching the truth, just let it be, let it lay, let people say what they're going to say, but be at peace that you are speaking the words of God. "For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner." That is true. Paul did it, you know, from theaters and in the midst of cities, in synagogues, and, you know, he was very out there. "King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets?" He's like, he's trying to persuade King Agrippa that, hey, listen, if you believe in the Old Testament scriptures, they point to Jesus. "I know that you do," Paul says. He believes that King Agrippa has an understanding of the prophets. Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian?" Agrippa sees the effort Paul's making. And Paul said, I love this, "I would wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Oh, that everyone would believe in the gospel and in Christianity. He desires that for everyone. And, you know, I tell you what, I just wish people knew. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes seeking. It takes trying to understand. It takes reading. It takes listening. But I really believe if people knew what we knew, they'd believe what we believe. But most people don't know what we know. And they haven't taken the time, and right now their eyes are blinded, and they've got a shield on, and they don't want to let the word penetrate. But if you just but listen and research, the evidence is there that Jesus is the Messiah. He came to fulfill the Old Testament law. He died on a cross on Pentecost, hallelujah, to forgive our sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And if you just but learn the evidence, you could see that Jesus is real, that he did just what God said he would do, and that you can trust in him, that he died for you to give you forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Place your trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The king stood up, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had gone aside, they began talking to one another, saying, "This man is not doing anything worthy of death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. But you know what? To Caesar he shall go, because that's where God wanted him to go, and Paul knew it. And now he is about to board a ship to begin to make a long and difficult voyage to Rome, where God is going to show up along the way in the journey remarkably and miraculously. But what an awesome opportunity Paul had to share the gospel before kings. And I hope some of them heard what he had to say and considered what he had to say and eventually trusted in Jesus. You know, we have such a great advantage now. You know, when Paul left, man, the message of the gospel to a certain extent left with him, because, you know, there were others, you know, that were beginning to proclaim the gospel, but unfortunately, they didn't have the New Testament word like we do now. And, you know, there's really no excuse now. We have the Bible, we have audio, we have video, we have churches everywhere. If you want to find Jesus, you'll find him. You know, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. So I pray that our friends, our loved ones, and us would continue the journey, and that we would have a peaceful confidence to proclaim that Jesus Christ came to forgive sinners like us. Hallelujah. Let's get the good news out there. God bless you all.